If you are like me, you long to find and give, and maybe receive, the perfect gift. You start off in the Christmas season, you start off maybe Black Friday, maybe yesterday, which they are now calling Panic Saturday. It was a new term to me, but that's what they were saying on the news yesterday. And you are looking for just that perfect thing that your loved one or your coworker or your mail carrier needs and or wants. Sometimes we are told, oh, you know me, get me what you think I would like. Which is great because it gives you all the options in the world. If you do say that, you can't then later on say, oh, this is a horrible gift, because you are casting aspersions on my ability to interpret your needs and wants. If you really want something, you should tell someone. But we try to find the perfect gift, exactly what people want, but our resources oftentimes require us to settle on a compromise. Maybe it's a combination gift that meets some of the needs, such as gift cards. Aren't gift cards wonderful? They can be anything. You need a toaster? Here's a gift card. It could be a toaster. You need a shirt? Here you go. It could be a shirt. And if you get it like a Visa or a MasterCard, I'm not recommending a particular brand. But if you get a universal gift card, then the sky's the limit. You can use it anywhere for anything. Wouldn't it be nice if we could find the perfect thing that anyone could use anywhere, and it would meet all their needs and wants? Well, we don't have that ability, but God does, and God has. God has all creation at his disposal, and so he is able to give us the perfect gift, the babe of Bethlehem. But this gift, this infant, this newborn that we celebrate this evening and we will celebrate tomorrow, is a gift with many purposes, as is evident by the names or the descriptions that the angel gives for him. There are four different titles or names that the angel uses to describe this coming child. We've read a few of them. There's one that we didn't hear from Luke chapter 1. But let's look at these terms that the angel uses. First, the angel goes to Joseph. And Matthew 21:23 says, they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Chuck Swindoll said, he who resided in heaven, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit, willingly descended into our world. He breathed our air, felt our pain, knew our sorrow, and died for our sins. He didn't come to frighten us, but to show us the way to warmth and safety. God came down to be with us. There are many things that we identify with as human beings. No matter what your faith system, no matter what your belief system, whatever world religion people may desire. But there is one, and it's a big one, that only Christians believe. And that is that God came down to reside with us. All the other world religions hope that we can go up to be with God, but God never comes down and lives with us. He deals with us and directs us, but he doesn't live with us. Except for Christianity. God with us, Emmanuel. God sympathizes with our weaknesses, Hebrews 4 says. As I read in John 1, we have seen his glory. We've seen his righteousness and his power as well. We have seen God through Christ, John 11, 40 says. That we have the permanence of God's presence. We have seen God because Jesus came and dwelled among us, because the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. We have the permanence of God's presence. We have tangibly, really, historically, God in our midst. We could never say, God doesn't know what I'm going through. We can never say, God's never experienced what I feel. God's never been cold, or God's never been hungry, or God's never been hurt. Because we have God with us, Emmanuel. Just think about this truth. God is with us. Even when we are not with God, God is with us. Although we cannot by ourselves rise to God's side, God came down from the perfection of heaven to be with us. Now, next. This is the passage we didn't include. Luke 1:23, an angel comes to Mary and says, Luke 1:32, he will be called the Son of the Most High. Not only is he Emmanuel, God with us, but he will be called the Son of the Most High. What does the Most High mean? If we were to look at Psalm 97, verse 9, for you, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Psalm 50, verse 14, sacrifice thanks offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High. God Almighty, the God of the Old Testament, the God of creation, is the Most High. And Jesus is the Son of the Most High. He is the genuine Son of the God of creation. And why is that important? Because it's an expression of God's unfailing love. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. If Jesus were just metaphorically the Son of God, if he were just spiritually the Son of God, then we might say, what's the big deal? God has a million sons. God has a million daughters. God has 14 billion created children. But what we know is this. That he gave the Son of the Most High, the Son of God Almighty. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So let this thought rest in your mind. Jesus, the baby who came to die for the sins of those who trust in him, is the one and only genuine Son of God. And God willingly allowed him to come to us. Then finally, an angel came to a countryside, a hillside, and spoke to a bunch of shepherds and said, first, in Luke 2:11, today, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior has been born to you. That's what Jesus' name means. Both Mary and Joseph were told that they should name the baby Jesus, the Jewish term they would have heard was Yeshua, God is deliverance, or God is help, or God is salvation. He is the Savior. And the significance of that is that we need saving. We need saving from sin and death. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us have lost loved ones this year. And isn't it good to know that death is not the end? Because we celebrate Christmas. Because the Savior has been born to you. Sometimes we need salvation from ourselves. Romans 7:24 and 25. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we think to ourselves, there are things that I shouldn't do, but I do them anyway. There are things that I should do that I never do. We can say, well, God has saved us from that. He saved us from the guilt and the shame and the pain of low expectations of ourselves or others. He has given us victory over Satan. Jesus said in Acts 26:18, I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Sometimes we need saving from the situations that we find ourselves in. And isn't it good to know that because of Christmas, because of Jesus, a Savior has been born to us? So take time to remember this child. From the first herald to the last shout, he delivers us and saves us completely. But that's not all the shepherd says. The shepherd goes on and says, for to you today a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Jesus is the Messiah, or the promised one, or the anointed one, or the chosen one. And therefore he fulfills all the promises. What would it mean if we were to claim and realize and enjoy all the promises that God has given us? We have, because Jesus came and rested in a manger, because God himself took on flesh and pitched his tent among us, we have the fullness of all the promises. In Romans 8 it says, if God gave his own son, what else is there to give? Won't he give us all things? If he fulfills his promise in giving us the Messiah, he's going to fulfill every single promise. George Handel considered all the promises of God. He spent 24 full hours contemplating all the Old Testament promises of God. And you know what he did afterwards? He composed the Messiah. And he never wrote a secular piece of music again. And it's said that he regularly came to tears when the name of Jesus was uttered. Now, I don't know if that's true. I'd like to think it's true. But wouldn't it be nice if that was our heart? That we just contemplate all the promises that God has given us because of Christmas. Have you thought of the promises Jesus has fulfilled in your life. I will never leave you or forsake you. Those who seek me early will find me. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, or my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. We come out tonight to celebrate the babe of Bethlehem, who is called Emmanuel, the Son of the Most High, Savior and Christ, God with us, God around us, God over us, God for us. That is the perfect gift that fits a tag much, much larger than that. We are going to conclude our service by singing Silent Night. I'm going to ask John to start playing, and as we bring light, I'm going to light this candle from the candle that represents Christ, and then pass it to John, and then pass it to you, just so that no one gets hurt, and so that there isn't wax on your clothing or on the floor or the furniture. If your candle is burning, keep it upright. If your candle is not burning, you can tilt it. You can put it upside down. You can do whatever you want with it, as long as it's not lit. Once it's lit, upright. All right? So actually, I'm not going to pass the light to you. You're going to take light from me and then take light from me. So remain seated. And John, if you could start playing, and then I'll, when I come back up, I'll...
Please sing with me.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, silent night, holy night, Son of God, lend the light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
I'm going to ask you if you could simply make sure that your candle stays upright and bow your heads, close your eyes as we come together as for a final prayer. Father, we come and thank you for your word and your truth and ask that this light would be a representation of